take projection.
Welcome everybody to Taking On Sports. I am TD. That is Greg. Greg, how you doing today?
I am good. How are you today, sir?
I'm pretty good, man. We were just talking off recording about how it was a good idea to wait a week because, man, do we have some stuff to talk about, including about 30 minutes ago, big announcement from the NBA, Kyrie Irving being traded to the Mavs. Greg, you are the Mavs fan here. Talk about it.
Well, you know, like I was saying, I don't think this team is really going anywhere. I mean, we're only two games above 500. And, you know, the big talk has always been the whole season is finding a number two or someone that could take over the scoring load when Luka's maybe out like he's been with the injury or just, you know, to give him, you know, his guaranteed second punch. And Kyrie definitely brings that. You know, Kyrie comes with a lot of stuff, but when he's on the court and actually playing ball, he's still one of the best in the league. So it's just a matter of how the chemistry between those two, how that goes. But, I mean, it could be something fun. And, you know, worst case scenario, it doesn't work out. But I'd say it's better sometimes to make a move than to not do anything and, you know, be a ho-hum middle of the pack team that really doesn't excite things. Also, I think it's good because, you know, there's eventually, you know, Luka, you know, if he doesn't win in Dallas, you know, then people are going to start coming for him and say, hey, you got to come here to win a championship. And, you know, I think this was a move to say, you know, Mark Cuban showing him, and we're going to try to, you know, show you that we can make some moves to at least give you a better chance. And maybe we have, you know, after losing Jalen Brunson, you know, then I think this is a pretty good move considering where we have been for most of the season, kind of up and down. I mean, we got hot in December. January really hasn't been that great. And, you know, February, Luka's been hurt a little bit, so I like it.
For sure, yeah. Anytime you can add a guy with the talent of Kyrie Irving, you certainly have to think about it and take a shot. And like you said, Luka's needed help for some time now. And so they definitely got him help. Yeah, we're also talking, you know, a lot of it depends on, too, if they sign him to an extension. Just knowing his, you know, kind of history, though, with always, you know, kind of skipping out after a few years or whatever. What do you want as a Mavs fan right there? Do you want, like, a long term or maybe just a couple years, see how it goes?
I would just want the short term. I mean, we kind of know Kyrie's history. I mean, he's great for a certain amount of time, and then things seem to blow up. And I think that they were talking about after, if he were to re-sign, it'd be like a two-year, $70 or $80 million deal. And I think that's a perfect situation, you know, because that gives him and Luka some time for the chemistry. But at the same time, if it doesn't work out, you know, you're in it for 2 years, not too much lost. I mean, it's not a, you know, multi-max, $100-plus million contract that, you know, a lot of guys are getting. So, you know, sometimes you swing for the fences. We'll see what we do with it.
For sure, yeah. I mean, the only one way to really grade trades, and that's to wait to see how they pan out. It's really amazing how it all happened so quickly. I mean, it had to with the deadline coming up here in a few days.
Yeah, but, exactly. Because I would just listen to a Mavs podcast this morning. It's funny because I, you know, kind of just getting some thoughts, you know, to talk about on this show as possible what we might do. Then we do some, you know, NBA talk, and, you know, we're really sure that we're going to make any blockbuster moves because that really hasn't been a Dallas thing, you know, around the trade deadline. But I guess it kind of changes everything because, you know, on their podcast and what I was thinking, you know, eventually, you know, they always talk about moving Dorian Finney-Smith, and he's always on the block. So, I mean, that makes sense that, you know, he's actually finally moving. You know, he had a good time. Good tenure in Dallas, solid middle guy, but, you know, Dinwiddie, he's put up some good numbers, but, and when you can get a player like Kyrie, and really, I mean, it's not like earth-shattering. I think we lost those two and then like some 28 or 29 picks, so, I mean, a couple years down the road, and who knows what things will look like then, so.
Exactly. As far as going the other way, the Nets will get Spencer Dinwiddie, Dorian Finney-Smith, as you mentioned, a 2029 unprotected first round pick, and 2 second round picks in 27 and 29. The Dallas is also getting Markieff Morris in the deal. I'm sure that's a salary match thing. So as far as the other side of this, the Nets, I mean, so I guess we have to say this has been a failed experiment now with the big three, and Brooklyn did not work out. And, you know, we got KD's hurt now still, and Ben Simmons is, I mean, he's worthless, let's be honest.
Ben Simmons, who knows, like, wow.
So, I guess the next big thing on as far as the Brooklyn side of it is, where does KD go from here?
Exactly. That'll be the interesting thing because, I mean, I wonder how involved he was in any of this. Does he know anything that was going on? I mean, was he expecting this to, you know, take place while he's out? I mean, for right before he got hurt, I mean, the Nets were winning games. Had that 10-11 game winning streak for a while, and you know, after KD got hurt, you know, they lost a few, but I mean, still in the mix there. But I mean, at some point, the trading Kyrie seemed inevitable only because of the issue from, you know, last season, and you know, everything that came from the off season and the additional fines by the owner on Kyrie for his, you know, his comments there on the anti-Semitic movie there on Amazon. But so you knew it was gonna come at some point, but you know, wasn't sure when.
You know, there were some teams that were, you know, the Lakers were, of course, discussed in there. And,
right, the Lakers. And
the Clippers.
A lot of that probably just, yeah, with the Lakers, I would assume a lot of that just has to do with, I'm sure Westbrook would have been the move, and I doubt the Nets wanted to eat that contract.
Yeah, for sure. As exciting as it would be to see a little KD Westbrook reunion.
Yeah, that would be good TV, if anything.
Exactly. Elsewhere, nothing really big has happened. You know, we had the Wizards and Lakers made a trade. Roy Hachimura made his way to L.A., but not anything else big so far. Nothing big. Really elsewhere, you know, Steph Curry got hurt, so he'll be out past the All-Star break.
February.
The Pelicans finally ended their 10-game losing streak last night. Big win over the Lakers, so that's a they desperately need Zion back because they have fallen now into the play-in window from, you know, being the one seed at one point in the season. So
the West is just still so wide open, though, because, I mean, we're sitting at, like, the sixth spot and 2 games over .500. So, I mean, it just shows you that everybody's kind of in the West for the most part.
Oh, it is for sure. You got, if you look at the standings now, the Kings are in third place. And then if you go down all the way to the Lakers, who are, you know, technically 13th place and out of the play-in, only 5.5 games separates all those teams.
Exactly.
You know, that's a lot of, So you go on, you know, even just a couple games slide or winning streak, you're bouncing up a few spots or bouncing down a few spots.
Exactly. Yeah, it's just crazy how even it looks like it's going to be down the run. And possibly, you know, a lot more exciting end into the season than what we've come accustomed to because, you know, a lot of the time you're just towards the end, you're just wondering who's going to be the last couple of teams or, you know, is a 2 and a 3 going to flip around? And, you know, this season how it's looking a couple of games and you have a whole different playoff situation. You could drop from that 2 to that 7th or 8th spot real quick.
Yeah, real quick. And over in the East, you got to figure the Cavs are happiest about this trade because they could probably overtake Brooklyn now for that 4th spot.
Right.
Get a home.
Yeah, for sure.
Home court in the first round.
Definitely.
Other than that, NBA news, you know, LeBron is closing in on the all-time scoring record. He's about, 36 points away, I believe.
Right.
So he should get that in the next game or two.
Right. I'm assuming they're probably going to push for that Saturday prime time against the Warriors on ABC. It seems like that's kind of what they're hoping for. You know, we'll see. It is interesting, though. I think the first next opportunity for Bron is against the Bucks, which was Kareem's original team. So that's kind of interesting.
We'll see that. And, of course, I'm sure everywhere in the world will have reawakened the LeBron and Jordan debates. Maybe we'll touch on that in the off season or something. That'll be, you know, when we need some content.
When it comes down to is sometimes we just seem to sit back and enjoy what we have in front of us. Because, you know, we're always looking for what's the next big thing. And you know, a lot of that just has to do with the amount of shows that are on now, radio and social media. I mean, everything's 24/7, so they have to have something to talk about. But I mean, you know, when we were young and, you know, Jordan was the man, like there wasn't who was the next Jordan, but there wasn't anything like saying it wasn't, you know, as I don't think nearly as big as far as, oh, this debate and this, that. I mean, I'm sure it was some, but it, you know, it seems to be a, you know, 24/7 debate, and they're just such completely different players. Like, it's not even a good comparison if you look at just how they play and what they do for the teams. But.
Yeah, absolutely. But yeah, so that's that's a debate for another time. I agree with you. I think it's so hard to compare guys from different eras like that because the rules were so different, even just in Jordan's era. And
exactly. I mean, the way fouls were and everything. Mm-hmm. And then the other thing that always gets me is, I understand the older guys are, the older people are always going to go with the older and when it was tougher and this and that. But you got to think, and they're like, oh, LeBron wouldn't make it in that era. But you got to think about it. LeBron grew up in that era. He would have the same mindset. And can you imagine coming down the lane with LeBron with the 1980 mindset? My goodness.
Those arguments are always ridiculous. LeBron is a freak of nature and obviously an argument for the greatest. He's a generational talent. Right? Yeah, he would have made in any era. Like, that's the honest. Exactly.
Just like Jordan would make it in any era.
Exactly. Like, if Jordan played now, he would. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, exactly. If Jordan played now, he would shoot more threes. Man, and
My goodness.
Yeah.
But, can you imagine with the amount of calls they get now?
He would average 20 free throws a game. It would be ridiculous. Man. Yeah, that's like arguments, you know, I see a lot of people dislike Larry Bird. I'm like, Larry Bird would average 30 a game in today's NBA, man. Magic would have 15 assists a game. I mean,
Magic would average about 25 and 12 these days.
Oh, yeah. Ridiculous. Let's see. Elsewhere in the NBA, we already talked. I mean, we've talked about how the stars are killing it this year. A quiet one we haven't mentioned yet, Dame Lillard, man. He's been going off lately.
You really have.
Quietly up there in Portland. They're having a solid season. You know, they're right there out on the cusp of the play-in. He's trying to pull them over that line. It'd be interesting to see if they can make a deal to get him some help.
Right.
And then the only other NBA thing I have in my notes are Memphis be fighting, man. The Grizz, they just want to fight. another.
Yeah, like, and the bad thing is, like, can they fight? Because based on what I saw on, he was definitely not getting, he was getting beat up. My Spider was going to beat him up. Like, it was a cheap shot, and he had every right to throw the ball at him. Like come on, man.
So, I mean, Memphis is, if I don't know if there's ever been a sports team that's personified their city more than the Grizzlies.
No, they definitely fit the city.
Yeah.
But the thing is, you got to win along with it. And everyone lost like 10 of the last 11 ever since that Shannon Sharp thing. It's been a bad losing streak. It's cool. I like that personality, that persona, because, I mean, it just adds something that a lot of teams are missing these days. But you got to win along with it. So I'd like to see them get back to what we know they can be. That make it a lot more fun.
Absolutely, yeah. 3-7 in their last 10 right now. So they're struggling. You know, hottest team in the West right now is probably the Suns. They are. Mm-hmm. They're making moves, and the Nuggets are still just churning along.
Right.
trying to steal that. And then you got over in the East, you got the Bucks and the Sixers are really hot right now. They won 9 of their last 10.
Exactly.
So that's a race for the one seed in the East now. The Celtics have not run away with it like they look like they might. But yeah, so the NBA second, you know, we still got the deadline coming up. That'll be fun to watch, and then it should be a really fun second half.
For sure.
Yeah. A lot of people always talk about you just wait till the playoffs to watch NBA, but no, not this year. I think it'll be really fun.
No, I think the only thing that, you know, that people say that, you know, the casual fan, but yeah, I mean, if you like the league and, you know, the star driven and everybody shows up, even when they lose, I mean, you still have cats dropping 40. So,
yeah,
I mean,
absolutely.
It's a lot of fun.
All right, but we will move on to, let's see my notes. Next, we'll kind of skip sports a little bit. We'll go to Alabama football, the big news this week, which I thought we were going to lead the show with before the Kyrie thing.
Right, yeah. Thought that was the main thing coming in.
Mm-hmm. Tommy Rees is the new offensive coordinator at Alabama. They plucked him from Notre Dame. He's been there for a few years now. Went into coaching immediately after his playing days there as an Irish quarterback. He's definitely kind of a out-of-nowhere pick, but Nick Saban seemed to really like him. They interviewed a bunch of people, and depending on which source you read, either were turned down or not. So we got Tommy Rees now, and it's
Tommy Rees.
It's interesting, yeah. As far as I think I liked it the more I kind of looked at his stuff, and you know, Notre Dame's offense, as bad as they started last year, they really improved, and he works well with quarterbacks, and he adjusts his play calling to what he's got. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, who takes the reign. I think a lot of it, the Alabama offense next year, depends on who wins the quarterback position. You know, are we going to be kind of a running team with Milroe, or, you know, is what's his face, Ty Simpson, right? Is he going to win it? Are we going to be more pass-based?
Exactly.
So, still no defensive coordinator, but we do know it's not going to be Todd Grantham, so I know we're both happy about that.
Yeah, for sure. Because I know that all of a sudden, and I think that more other fan bases trolling than anything, but everybody's like, oh, Todd Grantham coming to Todd. I was like, come on. And it can't be. There's no way. you know, as far as the Rees hire, I mean, I like it because he's a younger guy, you know, just coming into the coaching game. He's a hungry guy. You know, he's still looking for his actual big chance. I think he's really going to I think he's going to do good things in Tuscaloosa. One thing I really like about it, he's like to run the ball. So I think that's a big thing, because I think Nick really likes to still, despite, you know, evolving offense, he still likes to have a good running game. And I think we can get back to that more with Rees as the OC. I thought that was one of the key things that I liked about him. And also, I mean, the difference in talent level, even though Notre Dame has some talent, between South Bend and Tuscaloosa is immense. So I think, I think he'll be fine.
Yeah, absolutely. You mentioned it, running the ball. It did seem like Saban wants to get back to kind of not necessarily 2012 offense, but something more ball control. You know, it's one thing if you got that, like, Tua, Mac Jones era offense where we're just scoring, you know, we got 40 points at halftime, then yeah, it doesn't matter how long you have the ball because you got 40 points.
Exactly.
But if we're not going to do that, then yeah, controlling the ball, keeping the other offense off the field, giving your defense a rest is important. And one thing, and kind of studying up on Rees, I liked, man, he uses his tight ends. And I feel something that Alabama has not done in a long time is use tight ends. And we've had good tight ends that we just did not really use.
I bet you Latu was like, man, where was this last year?
Our boy had a decent game in the Senior Bowl yesterday, too.
I heard it. He's had a good week there, too. So that's good for him.
But, yeah, so we got that transfer coming in from Maryland at tight end. So we'll see what Tommy Rees does with that, and a great stable of running backs there. And then we'll see what goes on the defensive side of the ball.
I've heard so many different things. Yeah. Like, now the big hype train is K Kevin Steele. I don't think that's going to happen, but that's hot story. That's a new hot story. But, you know, I think overall, I think Saban's looking for younger guys because I think he knows eventually he's going to have to step away, and I think he would rather hand it off to somebody rather than bring in somebody completely new to the system. Mm-hmm. I think maybe that's some of the thinking, you know, with getting Reese, a younger guy who can evolve, you know, can sit a couple years, you know, while Saban does his last couple and, you know, move from there. And I think he's probably looking that same way on the defense. I mean, they're just revolving the same type of coaches. You know, I think it's good to get away from that because I think we all know what – I mean, Kevin still had not a bad defensive coordinator, but just some of the issues and, you know, everything that goes along with it. I don't think that really is going to excite the players or anything like that. So.
Yeah, for sure. And
we'll see.
With the number one recruit class this year, any guy has incentive to stick around for at least a couple of years to try to really see what he gets out of this talent that we've got coming in. For sure. And one thing one thing you talked about rumors. Another thing I've heard is it looks like it might be difficult for Jeremy Pruitt to get the okay from either the NCAA or SEC or whoever the powers that be.
Maybe. Yeah, that's.
But we'll see. Again, that's something we don't. I don't have any sources.
Yeah, it just seems like just with the delay and everything, because everything seems to be pointing directly to Pruitt, and then kind of backed off. So I'm thinking the SEC, I would assume it's an SEC thing more than an NCAA thing, but I don't know. Now, I'm assuming someone talked to someone in Alabama and said, cool off on, you know, Jeremy a little bit. But I was wondering, is there a way to bring him on as an analyst, or is that kind of a no-no, or would he even do something like that? I don't know.
That's a question I would have, too, is if they would be like, all right, well, you can get him on as a non-coaching member of your staff, mm-hmm. and then once his, whatever, if he gets penalties, you know, his investigation still is not concluded, so we don't know if he's going to get show calls or anything.
Show calls, right.
Yeah, so... Yeah, a lot of that remains to be seen, but that's the next thing we're waiting for on the gridiron. On the hardwood, up and down week for the Tide, got just absolutely blown out by Oklahoma last weekend in the Big 12 SEC Challenge. Did not show up for that game at all. did not show up. And then bounced back with a big win over LSU.
And a big win on Tuesday against Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt.
Slaughtered Vandy. Just absolutely. Oof. Nearly 50-point win there. Actually, it was 50. Was it? Biggest SEC win in Alabama history. Yeah.
Yeah.
So they bounced back good this week. From a disappointing start. I will say, though, one thing. Is it troubling to you, if you look at the losses Alabama's had this year, particularly Gonzaga and Oklahoma now, they got these big, beefy boys down low on the posts and centers, and that seems to be something that Alabama's having trouble with. So are you a little worried about come March?
Yeah, I mean, I was thinking about that because, Drew Timmy abused us. And last weekend at 35 with the beard, he abused us. And, it might be a little troubling, but at the same time, it all depends on the matchups you get there. And a lot of teams don't have that. So at the same time, we're probably not going to see too much of that till the later rounds. So that's one good thing. Other thing, too, is I was wondering is how much, with that whole – Darius Miller situation, how much did that play into the, that week? Because, we had a tough game against Mississippi State before the OU game, and, team seemed a little bit off, and definitely off in Norman. So, wonder if they're, coming back, from that. And, that's going to affect you because, it's a basketball team. You only have 12, 13 people, so you're going to be pretty close with everybody, so. I think they may have had more of an effect than what people may have thought about originally.
Absolutely. The Yeah, the mindset of the team, you never know what's going on in those guys' heads. And a lot of times with college sports, we tend to forget those are kids
out there. I mean, there. Yeah, I mean, yeah. They're 18 to 20-year-olds. I mean, what were we doing at 18 to 20?
we're not going to say on the record.
Right, but we always have these high expectations. You know, they're supposed to be this, that, and the other. Most of us will say that. You've got to think, man, what were we doing? What will we have done in this type of situation? And it's probably not nearly as mature or as great.
Mm-hmm. And nowhere near the pressure of these kids, you know.
No, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
As far as the big man thing, that is something that worries me a little. It always, you know, a lot of once you get to the tournaments about matchups. And the thing about that worries me is you don't need to face a 5-star big guy like that. That's a guy that you get into that second round against a 7 or 10 seed or 8-9 seed, and if they got a big guy and your three-point shooting, and our three-point shooting goes cold, that's a scary prospect. But I'm sure Oates and the coaching staff will work on that.
Right, yeah, because that's, I guess, the biggest thing. You have a big man, and then sometime when we get to – when they force us into that half-court offense and we can't gun at all, like, yeah, sometimes that slows us down a little bit. Mm-hmm.
But Nate Oates extended this week.
Yeah, he was. I like that.
So yeah, he's big 2029. High name out there. Mm-hmm. A big buyout, which should definitely keep him at school for at least a few more years, and then hopefully we get the arena done, get him some facilities to really, really entice him to stay and for recruits to keep coming. There was reports that he said that Greg Byrne has told him with inflation and construction costs, the arena now would cost $250 million, which it would put it around middle of the league as far as NBA arenas goes, and I'm sure a little higher end for college arenas. But as one of the founders of the Alabama Tech, Caleb Johnson, says, once you get to that amount, money's basically made up. So I say, just go ahead and build the damn thing. I mean, it's all tied up in bank loans and credit lines and all of that at that point. And you know, it'll pay for itself over time.
Exactly. I mean,
Once
you get past a certain amount, of, I mean, all the money that comes in, it'll be fine. Like, it'll work itself out.
Yeah. Build the arena. Get us blow up Coleman.
Get us out of Coleman. Get us out of Coleman, please.
blow it up. Build it over Coleman or over by the softball field, whatever site you want to pick. Just
build, make it happen.
Build a nice, beautiful arena.
Exactly.
Give the basketball team some good facilities.
Because we've been. I mean, we were worried that we were wondering why we were in Coleman in 2002.
Yeah. So. And then we got that bogus little renovation, quote unquote, where all they did was make the mezzanine look nice. And
yeah, the mezzanine and little front little thing, and
yeah, put some signs on the concession stands. didn't do a damn thing inside the court.
No, not at all.
Yeah, build a new arena, get the students down low, get them out of that caves in the corners, you know.
Exactly. Yeah, get them around. Yeah, make it as intimidating as possible, and
give Nate Oates a reason to stay for even longer, and give recruits a reason to keep coming here.
Exactly, because I think he's building something special. I mean, you got to look at it. I mean, based on everything, of course, we're already in the tournament this year. It's just a matter of gonna be where. But I mean, that's gonna be 3 straight tournaments. I mean, that's been since Mark Gottfried. So,
Yeah, it's been a long he's going time. Places. And, you know, hopefully, get out the first. I mean, obviously, hopefully this year's a Final Four run, but keep making it to those second weekends. Get to that. That's where I think we've always said with Alabama's resources, there's no reason this shouldn't be a team that perennially makes the second weekend of the tournament.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Because, I mean, you got, like we had talked about before, I mean, there's other quote unquote football schools that consistently have a good basketball program. We've Michigan, Ohio State, Florida. I mean, there's no reason why we're not in that continuous expectation second weekend, you know, make a Final Four every now and again. I mean, we should have those type of expectations. I think of course, never going to be as high as football, but it shouldn't be, oh, good, we made the tournament. I never liked that mindset.
So. Yeah, exactly, yeah. We're not a program that should just be happy to be there.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right, now we can move on to the NFL. We'll start, like I said, we'll start with the news of the week. In terms of a lot of coaching changes, Sean Payton back in the game. He goes to Denver. Denver trades a first and second round pick to it. New Orleans. That's great for New Orleans, you know, getting a first round pick, especially after they've traded some away.
Exactly.
How do you feel about it for Denver?
Well, you know, I said some things about it on my personal Facebook page about, you know, at one point, Sean Payton was a great coach. But, I think not necessarily the game has passed him by, but, I mean, is he really somebody that's going to give you over the top? I don't know. And just the amount that, you know, Denver, I mean, they swung with fences with Russ, swinging the fences again with Sean Payton. And if those two things don't work, I mean, they're stuck for a while without picks and a lot of problems there. If things don't go, and you know, in Sean Payton's first year and Russell's second year, that if they're anything like they were this year, my goodness, you know, big failure all around.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm with you. Sean Payton's a good coach. We can't deny that. He's a good offensive mind. But we do need to wonder how much of it was him and Drew Brees being a perfect pairing for each other.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the Saints definitely should have won more in their time there. Some of that's not on Peyton or Brees. You know, some of that's on the defense. Some of that's on maybe some shady refereeing. Again, they didn't. They won the one Super Bowl, and they had a lot of heartbreaking losses and a lot of, you know, early exits. For the playoffs when they should have done more. But I'm interested to see if – I assume they'll go into the season with Russ as the quarterback unless another major trade happens. But I am interested to see if he maybe gets a younger guy in there either via the draft or free agency or a smaller trade. And
right. Yeah, maybe that would be interesting.
Has a backup plan, someone more that he likes. Or if he works
right. –
if he even can work some magic with Russ, or if Russ is cooked. Because what we saw last year, Russ.
Not it.
Yeah, not it.
Russ took the shell of himself. And you know, some of it, I mean, the points the Denver receivers didn't give him a lot of help, a lot of drop passes. But, yeah, that was just a mess all around from the coaching hire on down. So it's been a tough run of things in Denver. Yeah, but it'll be interesting just to see how it plays out. Because honestly, I think though they got Sean Payton, it doesn't sound like they were really wanting to go Sean Payton until they knew for sure DeMeco was going to Houston. So definitely there's a second option here.
Yeah, there's a lot of conflicting reports on if they wanted Payton all along or if they were desperately trying to get DeMeco Ryans. But yeah, we'll see that. That's a good transition. DeMeco Ryans ends up back in Houston where he played for a lot of his career, was a team captain. Finally gets a coaching job that he has earned for sure.
For sure.
Happy for him. You know, he was a player during our time at Alabama, a 3-star guy, and then came in to be, you know, one of the better linebackers in the country.
Right. Him and Freddie Roach, man, that was a heck of a duo.
Absolutely. Yeah, that was a. For all the, you know, failings those football teams had when we were there, the linebacker the
defense was not it.
You know, yeah, defense and linebackers were not it. No.
Definitely.
Yeah, DeMeco, that our senior year, that Cotton Bowl year was a great great defense. Yeah. Him and Juwan Simpson there.
You know, we had Roman Harper in the safety. And Charlie Pepper was on that team. Like we had a lot of talent on the defense. Definitely a lot of talent. Yeah.
But DeMeco Ryans goes to Houston. We'll see if he gets another Alabama guy on Bryce Young in the draft to kind of build around. But I like it. I mean, he's deserved it. His defense has consistently been in the best in the NFL.
Definitely deserved it. I mean, he did everything he could to get this opportunity. I'm happy for him. The only thing y'all worry about with him, and I think the biggest concern for a lot of people, is just the Texans as an organization. You know, they've had a lot of dumb things that they've done the last, basically since making Bill O'Brien the coach and the GM. you know, I guess if anybody knows the franchise and the ownership, it's D'Amico. So, you know, he probably knows it better than anybody on the outside looking in, having played most of his career there. So, I mean, it's the same ownership. So, I mean, I'm sure he has no real surprises going in. You know, just hopefully that they let him do what he needs to do and, you know, let him make the decisions and let him get the 6 years of his contract there, because, you know, they've been quick to fire some of it. I think, you know, no one really thought Coley or, you know, David Coley, that was a weird hire. And, of course, I don't think anybody really thought Lovey was going to be that long term. So, you know, I think they'll at least give D'Amico the opportunity to hopefully at least get his, you know, 5-6 years there. And because, you know, it's a franchise that's really should have patience because they've been a mess.
Yeah, exactly. You hope that they give him time to, because they're lacking talent there. He needs to get some talent there. That defense is not going to immediately turn around just because he's there.
Exactly.
They need to build up through the draft and free agency and trades and all that.
They have a lot of draft picks, so should be able to put something good together. It'd be interesting. They, you know, what they do if they go with Bryce or, you know. That'd be interesting.
Yeah, and they're certainly in a good division to be able to rebuild quicker than some other divisions.
For sure, because, I mean, you go 10-7, 9-8, and you might win the division.
Yeah, for sure. Elsewhere, the Panthers filled their coaching vacancy, taking Frank Wright, who was let go by the Colts in the middle of the year. We'll see how that works out. Again, that's another one that depends. What are they going to do with their quarterback situation? I think Frank Wright's a good coach. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure he got a good deal. You know, he did miss. He's the one that convinced the Colts to get Carson Wentz. He thought he could fix him. He couldn't. And then he got stuck with Matt Ryan. So we'll see what he gets there with.
Yeah, we'll see. It's interesting. But I mean, if you're the Panthers, like, I don't know, like, you just see a guy, he's kind of gone downhill. He started off kind of a hot commodity and kind of fell off towards the end. Like, you just immediately want to bring him in. Like, that was my only thing. Like, he might very well be what they need, but I was like, yikes. Like, you know, I might have looked around a little bit longer, but they made that move pretty quick. So obviously, that was their guy. So.
Mm-hmm. The two head coach openings left are the Cardinals and the Colts. They're still looking for their guys.
I don't think either one's going to feel, I don't think, especially that Cardinal one, I don't think that's going to feel very quickly because they're a mess right now.
The Colts, with the Colts, you don't know what you're getting in terms of that. That's a kind of a messy roster situation as well. At least with the Cardinals, you got some talent there. They have weapons on that offense. Yeah, you got him. You got DeAndre Hopkins, although there's been some rumblings that maybe they could trade him to try to, you know, get some draft capital or something. So we'll see where that goes.
I heard that. Yeah.
But you got Hollywood Brown. You got Rondell Moore. You got, was it Chase Edmonds? You got...
It's a lot of... On paper, they look good.
Yeah. Hell, I almost called him John Connor, but this is not the Terminator. The other running back they got from the Steelers, whose name played at Michigan State. We know who he is. I just can't think. I'm blanking on his name right now.
James Connor.
James Connor. That's it, right?
Yeah, from Pittsburgh.
Elsewhere in the NFL, as we get to coordinator news, Cowboys let go of Kellen Moore, and he was unemployed for about 5 minutes, and he was picked up in San Diego. How do you feel about that for them, seeing his work over the past few years?
Well, I've not been the biggest fan of Kellen Moore for the last couple of years.
just thought, you know, he was, I guess he's kind of in the same reason why a lot of people don't like Bill O'Brien. And crazy enough, I had both at the same time. You know, good numbers-wise, you would think, oh, everything's wonderful. But then it's situationals, and you're just like, what the heck are you doing? And, you know, that, you know, even the, you know, in the playoffs, you know, everything is, of course, Dak interceptions. But you look, you know, we're first and goal about the 20 on the first interception. It's like, why are we passing in that situation? So, you know, and, you know, I mean, I think, you know, he's still a young guy, still pretty young. You know, maybe it was a move he needs, and we'll see. But, you know, the Chargers obviously thought he was a guy because they jumped on him within like 5 minutes of being like going Dallas. So that'll be interesting. I mean, a lot of talent in L.A. So, I mean, I guess we'll find out if it was more of a Dallas thing or more of a him thing for sure.
Absolutely. And then to replace him, they just got Brian Schottenheimer this week. How do you feel about that?
You know, I don't know how much he's going to be doing because I don't think he's necessarily calling the plays there. But, you know, he has experience in the league. And, I mean, he's been around, so, you know, a lot of experience. I don't know. With him not calling the plays, I think I'm a little – because he's had some issues with calling plays in the past, so he's not necessarily calling the plays. But, you know, I think just for what he'll bring with experience-wise, I think it'll be – you know, okay there. I think the biggest thing for the Cowboys, of course, was keeping our defensive coordinator more than anything. And able to do, at least keep him for another year there. So I think that was the biggest part of the coaching staff that definitely had to stay the same there. So, but, you know, I couldn't be, you know, not pretty happy considering, you know, that was the one coach I wanted to see go if any was Kellen Moore. So, you know, both two OCs and one off season, can't ask for much more, I guess.
That's true. So, yeah, we'll see a lot about how much it was, yeah, the talent on the Dallas offense versus coaching and vice versa. No other real big news as far as coordinators except for the NFL. The Ravens still searching for their guy to replace the ousted Greg Roman and see who they can get in there to make Lamar Jackson happy. And still working on trying to sign Lamar for long term. So we'll see how that shakes out along with those two head coach openings we talked about. Let's see. Other than that, Pro Bowl going on this right now as we speak. It's been interesting to see the players' reactions. Raiders running back and former Alabama guy Josh Jacobs tweeted out last night, "Man, this shit sucks." So I don't know. I imagine it does. You know, the players miss being sent to Hawaii every year. Vegas can be fun, but it's not Hawaii.
I mean, half the league goes to Vegas to play the Raiders anyway. I mean, eight games a year are in Vegas now. And I mean, for these guys, I mean, Vegas is just another day. It is not that big of a thing to go from multimillionaire guys to go to Vegas. I mean, it's not anything super exciting there. You know, if there's and I know they'll never get away from it completely, but, you know, if there was a all-star or, you know, game, kind of get rid of it, definitely the NFL, just for where it happens in the season and, you know, the lull in between the, you know, your top guys, I mean, they probably just got ousted from the playoffs, not interested in it. And, I mean, it doesn't really bring a whole lot. So, you know, it's been a long debate and a lot of people seem to be with it. Just, you know, get rid of the Pro Bowl altogether, but... I'm sure that'll.
Yeah. I don't mind. I think I've said for a while it should be type of flag football, more skills competitions. Because, no one wants to hit after a full season. No one wants to go full, you know, full tilt in an exhibition game anyway. And plus, the rules are weird. You can't blitz. You can only play certain defenses. It's not real football. Maybe just the owners and the players should band together and build a new stadium for Hawaii, because, you know, Aloha's stadium's falling apart.
Right, yeah.
It's not suitable anymore.
Yeah, but I think it's definitely some excitement going to Hawaii, even if it's, you know, more for your family, you know, just to have
the kids. Exactly, yeah.
Go to Hawaii, and, you know, that's still pretty cool.
Yeah. Elsewhere, you know, it's kind of playing the waiting game in this part. As far as off the field stuff, you know, will Aaron Rodgers be in Green Bay next season? You know, where's Derek Carr going to go? You know, who's signing what free agents, all that kind of stuff. Right. But that's down the line. We will get to the main event, the Super Bowl. We had one good conference championship last week and one unfortunate one. We'll start there. The NFC, the Eagles kind of just ran all over the Niners.
Yeah,
the 49ers must have they did something to piss Carmel off, because yet another quarterback injury. Brock Purdy goes down.
Yeah.
Josh Johnson
went down.
Was in there. Yes, and he goes down with Christian McCaffrey was in there running plays as quarterback. It was they had no chance. After that, no chance. The Eagles just leaned on them.
Right.
They will represent the NFC and the AFC. The Chiefs outlasted the Bengals. The Bengals had a shot, man. They had their shots to win that game. Yeah. Probably should have won that game. I know a lot of crying about some bad refereeing or some weird calls, but no, they had their shots. They, you know, turned the ball over. They didn't make stops.
Untimely picks. That's very on Joe Burrow. Mm-hmm. Late pick there, but no.
Yeah. And of course, a lot of it was on what was that? The linebacker number 58. You know, his late hit was a dumb play for sure. You know, you got to stay away from the quarterback. But if you think that's the reason they lost, you no, you're wrong. That's it didn't help.
And who's
but
doesn't? I mean, Buckner's still one of the better kickers in the league. I mean, even if they're a kicker from there, I mean, of course, your percentage goes down somewhat. But I mean, they probably had time for a player or two more. I mean, there's no telling, you know, if he even 5-10 yards, he probably still hits that kick. So more.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's still a pretty good chance he gets that kick. But so now we have the 2-1 seeds in the Super Bowl, the Chiefs and the Eagles. And it should be a really fun game. Greg, who do you got?
You know, sadly, being a Cowboys fan, don't like to say it, but I think the Eagles win the game. I think top to bottom, they're the more complete team. You know, I think they have the better defense. I mean, of course, you can't ever count out Patrick Mahomes, but I just think the Eagles are a little bit better, have a little more talent on that offense. And I think that their defense is nasty. I mean, I don't think that they get it. Some of the, you know, hype as a great defense, because a lot of that goes to the 49ers and such. But we saw in this playoffs that the Eagles defense has been nasty. They, you know, beat the mess out the Giants and really roughed them up. They really roughed up the 49ers. And, you know, everybody's like, well, they won without the quarterback. But they put out those quarterbacks. It's not like Brock Purdy had a freak injury out in the open field or anything. Like, he got laid out. So, I mean, they're a physical team. And, you know, I think it'll be a good game. But, yeah, I've got the Eagles. I'm saying somewhere like 27-24 type game.
Oh, all right. I think I tend to agree. I like the Eagles, like you said, their physicality. I like that. I don't think the Chiefs have, you know, we've seen Mecole Hardman's not going to play. That takes away some speed on that Chiefs offense. Travis Kelce's going to get his. We know that. But if you can, you know,
limit him.
If you can manage everyone else and just, you know, he could go off, but he can't. Well, we say he can't score 5 touchdowns, but he can. you know, we got to wonder about Pat Mahomes' ankle. You know, he toughed it out there, but still, that's against a hard-hitting team like the Eagles. That's something to worry about. And then they can just lean on that defense with that run game. You figure Jalen Hurts will probably be a little more involved in a run game. You know, we saw him against San Francisco. He's kind of taking it easy, sliding, you know, not really trying to fight for extra yards. But in the Super Bowl,
everything's on the line.
Hey, man, you know, exactly. And they have those, you know, that great, those two great receivers in A.J. Brown and our boy Devontae Smith.
Right.
They got a great tight end in their own right. I do. I think Philly's going to win, you know, their second Super Bowl here in, what, 5 years or so.
Yeah.
I think Jalen's going to get it. I think it'll be a good game, like you, too. Kind of close, I think. I wouldn't be surprised, too, if maybe the Eagles kind of jump out a little bit and then the Chiefs chip away because, you know, Pat Mahomes does Pat Mahomes stuff.
Right.
But I think it'll be a fun game either way. I'm just not sure the for the Chiefs to win, they're going to have to, you know, make big plays, which they can do, but they really haven't done a lot this year. That hasn't been their MO this year.
Yeah, exactly. I think that, you know, they've fought it out pretty well, not having that number one guy as far as their actual wide receiver. I mean, Travis Kelce, we know how good he is. But they haven't had any consistency as far as a number one wide receiver. Different guys stepped up at different times, but no one's been, you know, consistently, oh, he's the guy. And I think against a team like Philly, you have to have – unless someone really steps up that we're not sure of, I just think eventually that's going to be the Achilles heel for them. There's just not enough playmakers that – consistent playmakers that are going to be enough for – Kansas City, despite the magic of Mahomes, I just think that Philly a little too much for him. But.
They did get some good pressure on Joe Burrow, AFC title game. If they can match that, that's definitely something. If you can make the Eagles offense one dimensional,
but it's but you put pressure on Jalen, but it's like coming at the wrong angles. He's going to light you up too.
Exactly. Yeah. You have to contain and you have to make sure that you're, you know, somebody staying home in the middle because he can break it down the middle. He can get outside. I think there's just a very talented, well-coached team in Philly there. And like we've mentioned, the physicality, I think, will be the ultimate difference.
Right.
I think we'll see them lifting the Lombardi Trophy next weekend.
Now that we say
and
City by 40.
Yeah, exactly. Knowing our curse now, if you're paying attention, that means the Chiefs are going to win in the biggest blowout in Super Bowl history.
Pretty much.
Sorry, Philly fans. Greg's probably not that sorry. No, but
really. But, you know, it's one of those situations I'm not as hateful for the Eagles just because who's on the team as what I normally am. I still want them to lose, but, you know, you can't, you know, back in the day I could hate Donovan McNabb, you know, but, I mean, I can't hate Jalen. I can't hate Devontae. It's not the same. It's the team hate is there, but the individuals not as much. So a little soft on the Eagles and have been in past times.
And you know, contrary to what a lot of people on the internet are barking about, we can claim Jalen Hurts as Alabama.
Yes. Fans.
He claims Alabama.
I mean, yes.
He can claim both. It's okay for Oklahoma and Alabama fans to cheer for him. It's fine.
Yes, sir.
He's what, 26-2 as a starter here. Won the national. He was the reason we got to the national title game.
Exactly.
If it weren't for an unreal drive from Deshaun Watson, everyone forgets his freshman year, Jalen Hurts walked off the field after scoring the go-ahead touchdown.
Exactly.
If the defense makes a stop on that drive, Jalen Hurts wins the national title as a freshman, scoring the winning touchdown.
With less than 2 minutes to go.
Yeah, he led a drive. Yeah.
And in the very next year, I mean, he got us to the national title game. I mean, yes,
Got us to it. And then the year after that came in a reverse situation and won the SEC title game.
Because we were. exactly.
So, yeah, Jalen Hurts is Alabama through and through. So we will, you know, that's probably where my rooting interest will lie.
Right. Yeah.
As much as I don't like to root for Philadelphia teams as someone who grew up in Baltimore.
Right.
Still, yeah. But yeah, Greg, anything we missed from the world of sports you'd like to touch on?
I think we've hit most everything. You know, you got a added bonus there with the Kyrie thing, but you know, it was a good amount to talk about, and you know, it's gonna be a fun week there, Super Bowl week. Hopefully we'll get some good stuff out the media, because media days, because I mean, as far as the, you know, there's not a lot of going right now, I guess, not a lot of hatred, a lot of pizzazz going between the two teams, so kind of quiet on that front. So let's see what media day brings, and should be a good game next Sunday, and you know, got some good college basketball coming up, especially for Alabama. So
Yeah, absolutely. All right, then that will take us to our ending segment. Greg, what has been done up real good for you?
Done up for me real good this week. Man. You know, just making it through the week there. Started off kind of shaky, but, you know, anytime you can make it through another week of work and everything. So business picked up a little bit. So I was just happy to get through it and on to the next. How about you?
I'm going to give a shout out to the NHL All-Star Game festivities. I watched a little bit of them. They did some really fun stuff. They were out there down in Fort Lauderdale and on the beach having, you know, contest, you know, shooting pucks at surfboards and stuff. I grew up playing hockey, but kind of stopped watching NHL after they canceled that season back when, you know, we were in school in 04, 05 or so. But I always love the sport, and it's just, that's what All-Star Weekend should be. Really fun, goofy stuff like that. You know, have fun. You know, you got Alexander Ovechkin out there with his son and Sidney Crosby in a contest. You know, it's just, that's what sports should be. We take it too seriously at times as fans. And,
oh, yeah, we do.
You know, yeah, we go crazy sometimes and put too much weight on it as, you know, in the media people, but they're fun. At the end of the day, they're supposed to be fun, friendly competition, and I thought the NHL did a really good job of that this week. So that's where my donut real good would be. And then also, I will say donut real good. Blaine, of course, our head honcho here at the Alabama Take, made sure that you can now get Taken on Sports merch at online here, if I can find the stuff here.
Nice.
If I'm, of course, bad, did not have this prepared for this segment, but I believe it is trepublic.com. Let me double check that. But if you listen and you want to take it on sports shirt or coffee mug or...
Oh, quick, it's got hot.
Oh, yeah, sticker, yeah, exactly. It's hot merchandise, hot merchandise.
Get it while you can.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Is actually, it is indeed, tpublic.com, TEEpublic.com. You can just search for either the Alabama Take or Taken on Sports.
Nice.
Like I said, you can get yourself some t-shirts. You know, they got everything on that. Stickers, coffee mugs, sweatshirts, all kinds of stuff. You know, and get your kids some shirts. So yeah, do that. It'd be fun repping us out there. Other than that, do enjoy your week, everybody. As always, check out all of the great podcasts on the Alabama Take family of podcasts. And Alabama Slam did a good one up on the Royal Rumble this week. This Song Sucks is back with a new season. Always go to alabamatake.com. And something I did, too, in the week off, we got a Twitter feed now, Taking on Sports on Twitter. Look us up. Follow us. You know, shout us if you want us to cover anything during the week. Holler at us, and we'll try to get to it. Other than that, Greg, buddy, have a good one. Until next time.
Sure.